This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, the topic of today's khutbah is being positive in challenging times. To say that we are living in challenging times would be an understatement. The changes that these times have wrought in our lives and societies have been both good and difficult, and above all, perplexing. And for many of us, they have led to some level of anxiety and depression and worse. Let me therefore try to put what's happening into a framework that we can understand and find meaning in. For that, we need to look at four things. We will take this one at a time. The first one is, why does it happen? Why do difficult times come upon us? Number two is to reflect on and think of our past and the difficulties that we overcame in the past. Number three, plan for the future. What should be our strategy? And number four, remember the definition of final success. And that is only in the Akhirah. So why does it happen? The first and foremost thing to understand and remember is that nothing happens without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that nobody and nothing has the power to do or undo what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. La nafi' wa la dharra illa Allah. Nobody can benefit and nobody can harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why difficulties and calamities happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a world of cause and effect. Its laws are fixed, and anyone within the purview of the law will feel it. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the law of gravity, whereby any free-falling object is attracted towards the earth with an acceleration of 32 feet per second per second. Now, whether you are a feather or a rock, you will fall towards the earth at the same rate. You can afford to ignore the law of gravity as long as you are on the earth. But if you want to leave the earth to fly, or if you are falling towards the earth, you must do something to override gravity. That is the role, the principle of lift in flight, or the role of the parachute when falling. Gravity must be dealt with. It cannot be ignored except at our own peril. The same logic of natural laws applies to our actions. There are actions which result in goodness and actions which result in evil. Who does that affect? Ourselves. Today, we face abject poverty, sickness, violence, crime, mass murder, called war. All of these and more are the result of predatory capitalism driven by mindless consumerism and a total absence of compassion and kindness. We can undo all of this in one stroke, but only if we are prepared to change our own priorities and values and ethics and lifestyles. It is no mystery. We must decide which is more important. Clicking the button on Amazon Prime to buy some more junk which we will never use, or donating the same amount to feed someone. Our choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we bring calamities upon ourselves by our beliefs and actions, and above all, by refusing to change. Allah even then, in His infinite mercy, sends us warnings so that we can change ourselves before it is too late and we reach our ending after which nothing can be changed. The calamity is not a punishment, but a warning. It's a slap on the wrist to somebody who is extending his hand towards the fire. The slap hurts, but if you are allowed to put your hand in the fire, it will hurt much more. The slap saves you from burning yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore allows us a taste of the consequences in the akhirah, so that we can change ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له وما لهم من دونه من وال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily, Allah will not change the good condition of a people as long as they do not change their state of goodness themselves by committing sins or by being ungrateful and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills a people's punishment, there can be no turning back of it, and they will find themselves besides Him no protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ آخِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, evil, trials and tribulations and calamities have appeared on the land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by evil deeds, that Allah may make them taste a part of what they have done, in order that they may return by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, travel in the land and see what the end was, what the end of those before you was. Most of them were mushrikun. They were people who were polytheists. They were people who joined partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing to do, therefore, is to check our beliefs and actions, to see if there is anything we do which resembles polytheism. We don't worship idols, I agree. But what about worshipping graves and seeking help from and making dua to the dead? You may say that we don't worship graves, but to believe that somebody who is dead in a grave can affect our lives, grant favors, make dua for us, or any such thing, is open shirk. Calling on the dead for help by saying, yeah, so and so, is shirk. Placing reliance on anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a form of shirk. Ostentation and showing off is a form of shirk. Believing that someone or something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help or harm is a form of shirk. To follow our desires in opposition to the orders of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a form of shirk. All these attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they attract calamities. Despite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not destroy us. He warns us so that we can change. Allah said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And verily, we will make them taste of the near torment, a small punishment, a near torment, in this world, sickness and calamities and so on, prior to the supreme torment in the akhirah, in order that they may repent and return to Islam. My brothers and sisters, the solution is clear. Change ourselves, our beliefs and actions and circumstances will change. This connection between actions and conditions, amal and ahwal, is the essence of our belief in Islam. It is an enormously empowering concept which shows that our destiny is in our own hands. As long as we have life, we can act to avert or cure whatever calamity we may be facing. But that begins by understanding why that calamity happened in the first place. I don't mean the material answer. COVID happened because Chinese eat bats. I mean the real reason. COVID happened because we refused to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's query where Allah asked us, فَإِنَّ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? Then where are you going? We refused to answer this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped us dead in our tracks so that we could reflect on what we had been doing or ignoring in our lives and gave us an opportunity to change ourselves. So instead of asking, when can we get back to normality, we need to realize that it was our normality that put us in this mess in the first place. Therefore, we should not ask to return to our old normal, but to create a new normal that takes into account the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Factor Allah into the equation because He is in it anyway. There's another reason that tests come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and certainly, definitely, we will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth, lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to as-sabirin, people who have sabr, who are patient, who work, who have tawakkul. Who, when afflicted with the calamity, they say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His forgiveness from their Rabb. They are those on whom are the salawat from their Rabb, and they are those who receive His mercy. And it is they who are the guided ones. Tests also come to the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured us that He would test us in different ways, some of which can be very severe. If we look at the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, we see how every one of them was tested very severely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every Nabi was tested and I was tested more than anybody else. Yet they stood firm. And they sought the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And they continued to do what they had been charged with. The result was the blessing of Allah. Allah sent salam on them. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that He will do for anyone who bears the test with patience and without complaint. Let us reflect on this ayah and ask what we are prepared to pay to get the salawat of Allah and the assurance of His mercy and forgiveness, and be declared by none other than Allah that we are rightly guided. What is the price of that? If we were asked to pay, what would we be willing to pay? What would anyone with iman be willing to pay? That is the reward of patience in the face of tests and tribulations. In conclusion, let me summarize to say that tests come to both the good and not so good, but for different reasons. The response, however, is the same for us all. What should we do? Make istighfar and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah, which is to turn around and change our ways so that we are back on track on the path of steadfastness, as-sirat al-mustaqim, before we are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, let me give you a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah gave us, who declared, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah will not punish them while you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are amongst them. nor will he punish them while they seek forgiveness, Allah's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the secret of getting the guarantee of his protection. Stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu and keep on making istighfar. To have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among us today is to keep to his sunnah. To have him in our lives by living our lives the way he lived his life. That has the double benefit of making us people who Allah will love, and as a result, those others will also love. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the root to becoming influential and powerful. And istighfar is the safety net to save us from arrogance which accompanies power and influence. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.